This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Swing, 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 swing. Hi, Elmo. Who's your friend?
Oh, hi, Abby. This is Julia. Julia, this is Abby.
Hi, Julia. It's nice to meet you. Hey, Julia, can I play with you? Elmo, your friend doesn't like me.
No, Abby. Elmo doesn't think that's true. Julia sometimes does things differently because Julia has autism. Elmo thinks Abby can ask Julia to play again. Abby could use fewer words and wait a little bit. That usually works for Elmo.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh, together with Ezra Zayat, and this evening we're talking about autism. Now, what you heard just now was Elmo, yep, Elmo, from Sesame Street, talking about Julia, Sesame Street's first autistic character. So Julia flaps her arms, she's less verbal, and at times she doesn't respond or make eye contact when spoken to. Parents of autistic children actually lauded this move when she was first introduced, because when else does this neurological disorder ever get discussed outside of health forums? Now, the lack of awareness when it comes to autism is dismal around the world, and Malaysia is no exception. But there is one organisation trying to change that by directly helping families living with autism. The Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS, has a dedicated autism centre. And here to talk about it are its principal, Puan Sharifa, and IDEAS COO, that's the Chief Operating Officer, Tricia Yeo. Ladies, welcome to the show. So, Tricia, you were on the stage last year to talk about an autism campaign called the Hope Project. And for those of us who missed it, could you perhaps talk to us about why IDEAS, known to most people as a libertarian think tank, decided to embark on an autism project now known as the IDEAS Autism Centre?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me on. So I think in the very beginning, we actually fell into it by chance, you know. There was one of our staff members who had a son who had autism, and I think there was a pot of money that was available to do like a charitable project. And so the staff actually proposed the whole idea and said that there's a gap in the marketplace where out there, there are specialist centers that provide therapy. There are very expensive, actually, high-end private centers, and there isn't one that caters to the low-income group. So we did a survey, we did kind of a research into what's happening out there, and realized that that it's true that there isn't such a center. So this particular IDEAS Autism Center was set up with the intention of filling a gap. It's a big gap, but we've only managed to plug it in slightly because we only cater to about 30 children. And the objective here is to only look at families at the bottom 40%. So we will actually only take in children who come from families where their household income is less than 1,500 ringgit a month per capita. So that's the main intention, that we want to help poor families with their existing problems, because most of the time what happens is when the parents find out that their child has autism, one of the parents has to sometimes stop their work, and that means that their household income is already cut by half, and it's hard enough as it is to survive. So we really hope to be able to provide that kind of like a one-stop center, from 9 to 5, providing not just care but also occupational therapy and speech therapy.
What's the end game though for the children that are with you?
Our end game is quite simple. So we take in children between the ages of 3 to 9. So it's really early intervention that we're talking about. And we think that's the best value that we can add, because once the child is, you know, a teenager, there's very little already that you can do to change the child's behavior. I mean, of course, there is still intervention, but early intervention is better. So our goal actually is to make sure that the students will eventually gain placements into schools. And we have been quite successful in that, actually. I think, if I'm not wrong, 18 out of the 19 students who turned 7 years old did successfully get placements into the school program. So there's a special program where they have special classes just for special needs students, and we managed to get that. So that is the objective. But there are many things that we, of course, would love to do more of. But, you know, there's always funding shortage and resource shortage as well.
Juan Sharifa, you're the principal of the IDEAS Autism Centre. Tell us why, and maybe just touching a little bit more about what Tricia was mentioning. Why is there this gap when it comes to all of the centres, when it comes to dealing with autism? Why has this particular demographic, why have these folks been neglected and I guess not being addressed to?
Bagi saya, IDEAS merupakan salah sebuah pusat yang menyediakan terapi, pendidikan dan juga care ataupun asuhan untuk kanak-kanak autism dalam kalangan keluarga berpendapatan rendah. Kalau kita lihat dari segi kos ataupun pembiayaan untuk kanak-kanak autism memang memerlukan biaya yang sangat tinggi.
How much is it generally?
Kalau kita nak kata sebagai contoh untuk speech therapy saja, for 45 minutes therapy, it will takes about 150 to 180
per session.
That is only for 45 minutes, but it's not enough for the children, right? Okay. So currently we have about limited speech therapy, but at IDEAS kita memang provide that therapy for every children for not really free, but apa yang kita bantu kanak-kanak ni ialah kita bagi sepenuhnya dari segi pendidikan dan terapi kepada mereka. Dan secara puratanya seorang akan dapat sekurang-kurangnya dalam 8 sesi setiap bulan.
Wow. Yeah,
dan di samping itu kita juga provide guru-guru ataupun tenaga pengajar yang terlatih kepada kepada anak-anak ini. Dan dalam masa yang sama juga, IDEAS merupakan salah satu badan yang menyediakan training secara percuma kepada setiap parents. Dan kita juga ada menyediakan satu program outreach di mana kita bekerjasama dengan pihak-pihak sekolah dan juga pihak universiti untuk menjalankan seminar dan juga memberi latihan dan juga bengkel kepada pihak publik. Dan juga golongan sasar kita memang semestinya parents dan guru-guru. Tetapi kita juga akan invite golongan sasar yang di kalangan para professional dan juga public untuk involve dalam kita punya seminar.
Yeah, actually it sounds really good because you're tackling it from so many angles and you need to, right? It's all the different stakeholders. You're looking at the parents, you're looking at the schools, you're looking at the kids. Puan Sharifa, can you perhaps describe to us what a day in the school is like when kids go to you, you know, in the morning? What do they do? What happens there?
Okay. Since 2012 when this IDEAS Autism Centre exists, so far memang ramailah budak-budak yang datang. Memang mereka enjoy datang ke sekolah.
Umur dia berapa?
Umur antara 3 hingga 9 tahun. Dan kebanyakan mereka memang bangun je tidur, memang dia cari sendiri t-shirt IDEAS. Memang dia nak pergi ke IDEAS, dia tak nak pergi tempat lain. And then even Saturday, Sunday pun dia request to come to IDEAS Autism Centre. Dia memang enjoy to come to school because apa kelainannya antara IDEAS Autism Centre dengan centre yang lain ialah kita provide macam sekolah dalam rumah. Okay, apa yang ada di rumah kita provide di sekolah. Kalau ada di rumah ada gardening ke, ada program memasak ke, program macam mencuci cuci pinggan ke, cuci baju, kita provide itu di sekolah.
Why is it important? Why is it important to provide the same things at home in the center?
Okay, setiap kanak-kanak autism sebenarnya unik ya. Dia orang memang perlukan early intervention dari peringkat awal. Once dia dah diagnose, memang kita perlu bagi dia orang intensive program, yeah, intensive early intervention program. Even daripada peringkat yang mudah punya aktiviti kepada yang paling sukar. That's why kita lakukan dia secara step by step. Okay, contoh macam anak itu datang di sekolah tak ada toilet train, datang on diapers. Proses nak nak buat toilet train pun bukan makan masa sehari dua. It takes a few months maybe. Dan perlukan kerjasama dari ibu bapa juga. Okay, di Ideas Autism Center, kita akan educate the parents. Once we get the children, kita akan assess mereka. Kita akan find out di mana kekuatan dan kelemahan mereka. Dan kita akan rangka satu plan. Kita what we call early individual education plan ataupun rancangan pendidikan individu. Setiap 4 bulan kita akan rangka sejauh mana keberkesanan individual education plan tersebut. Dan sewaktu merangka plan itu, bila teachers semua dah provide dah buat plan, kita akan jumpa dengan parents secara individual. Okay, kita akan temukan parents, teachers dan juga terapi to discuss about the plan. Okay, dan dalam waktu yang sama, parents juga boleh bagi mereka punya pandangan, sama ada mereka nak tambah lagi what they need to do at home, then what they want teacher to give more to their child, kan? Dan dalam IEP ni ada satu kolom untuk kita panggil person responsibility. So di mana semua pihak akan bertanggungjawab untuk memastikan apa yang kita target ataupun objektif, long term objektif dalam individual education plan tersebut tercapai.
Can you perhaps give us an example of some of the long term objectives that the parents want their kids to achieve generally?
Okay, for example, once their son come to the center, have no speech at all. Okay, so maybe their target, they want the children to speak. Yeah, okay. So kita bagi priority kepada receptive language skill dulu, and then once mereka dah develop mereka punya vocabulary, kita change kepada expressive language skill, dan kita provide speech therapy for them. So, satu lagi yang dilakukan oleh Ideas Autism Center ialah kita ada psychiatrist dari hospital yang akan bersama-sama dengan parents dan teachers secara individual setiap 6 bulan sekali, di mana dia akan memberi consultation kepada setiap ibu bapa mengenai apa permasalahan yang wujud dalam kalangan anak-anak mereka di rumah dan di sekolah.
And then there's also the education side of things, not just speaking, but being able to read, to write. I mean, basic things that, you know, every parent wants for a child to, and things that are particularly difficult, I think, in handling an autistic child.
After this, we'll be talking to Tricia and Puan Sharifah about how the Ideas Autism Centre functions and how exactly they're helping families live with autism. This is The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Huh? Huh, Alan. I don't think Julia likes me very much.
Oh, no, you two are just meeting for the first time.
Oh, so she's shy. Oh, I get that. I can feel shy sometimes, too.
Well, with Julia, it's not just that. Mm. You see, she has autism. Mm. She likes it when people know that.
Autism? Well, what's autism?
Well, for Julia, it means that she might not answer you right away.
Mm. Yeah, Julia doesn't say a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And she may not do what you expect, like give you a high five.
Yeah, she does things just a little differently, in a Julia sort of way.
Oh, okay.
And she's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, Julia likes being with her friends. Oh, and she loves to play, too.
Play. You want to play now, Julia? Play.
Oh, okay, we can all play together.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Oh, me too. Can I play?
Sure, sure, buddy. Okay, so what should we play?
So Big Bird, they're sounding a little bit confused about the unusual game of tag that Julia is playing in one of Sesame Street's recent episodes. Now, Julia, of course, is the hit show's new autistic character. You're listening to The Evening Edition. I'm Caroline Oh, together with Ezra Zayed. And our guest this evening, Puan Sharifah, the principal of the Ideas Autistic Centre. That's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Also with us, Ideas COO, that's Tricia Yeo. Now, before the break, we were talking about the involvement of parents of autistic children and how there's an acknowledgement from parents about the condition of their child. Now, ladies, do you meet parents who perhaps don't know how to deal with the situation up to a point of even denial, perhaps? Do you engage with them on that front so that treatment can be given?
Yes, that's why for the first peringkat awalnya memang ada wujud denial dalam kalangan ibu bapa yang menafikan anak mereka ada kelainan dengan anak-anak yang lain. So apa yang kita lakukan ialah kita beri mereka sedikit kesedaran dan sedikit pengetahuan dari peringkat awal, sebab nak tackle kalangan parents yang denial ni memang agak sukar sebenarnya, especially yang dalam kalangan keluarga yang agak high level lah, ya. Jadi kita memang bagi sedikit consultation, sedikit advice kepada mereka, tapi peringkat awalnya kita akan jalankan screening dalam kepada kanak-kanak, dan based on screening tu kita akan bagi we can give the result to the parents on the spot secara verbally, dan dari segi findingnya tu kita akan inform the parents dari segi instrumen yang kita gunakan, your son dalam level, let's say anak dia datang umur dah 4 tahun, kita dapat kena pasti melalui screening tu kita akan find out sama ada anak dia dalam level ataupun track yang betul. Contoh kalau kita buat ujian dari segi communication skill, anak dia berada dalam tahap 1 tahun 6 bulan punya umur. So we will explain to the parents. So apa yang kita akan advisekan supaya dia dapatkan diagnosis yang sepenuhnya dari pihak hospital. Yeah, kita akan keluarkan laporan. So the report they can bring to hospital. So terpulang kepada ibu bapa sama ada nak biarkan anak dia terus macam tu ataupun pergi ke tempat yang saluran yang betul lah.
Actually, I would also say that's why it's really, really important to bring the parents together as a community, because on their own, they feel completely isolated. They have no idea where to get information from. Sometimes they get information from the wrong sources, you know, from BOMOs or other people who tell them that their child can be changed if they take a certain kind of medicine and so on. So all that is not helpful for the parents, because ultimately the child is diagnosed with autism and the child is going to live in that condition. So having the community support, you know, seeing other parents, seeing the teachers and meeting with the psychiatrist on a regular basis, that really helps the parents to feel that they're part of something bigger.
Because the community is so important to be supportive in this instance, because it doesn't matter whether you're low income or high income, denying you know, the current conditions of one's child is not actually looking at the best interest of the child in the long term as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Kita tak perlu tunggu sampai umur dia dah bersekolah dan only baru kita nak buat apa tindakan susulan, kan? Itu dah terlambat sebenarnya.
I just wanted to go back to one of the points that you made, and it actually relates to the community that we are trying to serve. So, you know, here we are trying to talk about the slightly lower income groups. On the one hand, they don't have enough access to information and resources, perhaps because they're just maybe not connected as much into the communities, the medical communities, for instance. And back to the question of why there are not enough centers that cater to this community, I think it's really hard to find a model that works. And, you know, this is something that we also struggled with. We still pay, you know, the large bulk of the cost comes from the salaries and overheads, because the teachers, the therapists that we pay for, the overheads, the rent, the services, the food, all these things are definitely still accounted for. The difference, I suppose, is where ideas comes in, and we've had to try and fundraise to make sure that the sustainability of the centre. So for instance, the parents only pay like a minimal amount of about 300 ringgit a month, but it still costs us actually 2,900 ringgit per child. So, you know, every month we're actually subsidizing them quite a hefty fee, but this has been made possible because of our funders. So I mean, ideally, we would love to have more.
We also have
private
few
sector
few
out
few,
there.
Few of them no need to pay anything because of the low, their per capita income less than 500.
Yeah, yeah. And some of them is just too low that they can't even afford 300 ringgit.
Yes.
But I was going to say that, you know, this kind of model should be replicated ideally across not just, you know, Klang Valley, but across Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine smaller towns in Sabah, Sarawak, or Kedah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are families with autistic children there. You know, foundations should really think about coming together and seeing where they can put their money collectively to make it work. I mean, come and explore our model. Come and research us.
Yeah. But I think one of the things is it's also difficult to imagine. So if you think about the scale, the autism spectrum, I can't in my mind imagine, what the ideal school would be, because I would imagine that you just have to cater to so many different things on so many different levels. Where do you even begin? So what is an ideal situation? And I suppose in that case, it's in my mind, it would be difficult to replicate what you're doing, especially when you don't have the funds to do it.
Yeah, so I think it has to be a sort of a mix between a private, you know, paying a fee-paying structure, and perhaps that should be able to subsidize the families who are coming from low income. But just to give you an idea of like the scale that we're talking about, so we don't really have statistics for Malaysia. I think the last one we had was in 2011, where 1 in 600 people are autistic. But in the US, which is just 2016 data from last year, is 1 in 16.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps more research needs to be done in Malaysia to actually assess is the number updated? How many actually are we talking about in the population? And with those projections, then the Education Department and the Ministry of Education should already be looking into how to cater to the students. Because right now, I think I mentioned that some of the students were accepted into what they call PPKI or Special Education Integration Program. This PPKI are special needs classes
within national schools. Right.
Exactly. But the problem there is that they put all special needs kids together in one class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the different special needs conditions require very different kinds of attention. And not just that, you know, the teachers need to be trained differently. The ratio of teacher to student needs to be actually much lower than it is right now. I think right now it's probably,
one five or one six like that.
Mm. So one teacher to six students.
What does IDEAS do? What is the ratio there?
We have three different levels. Maybe Puan Sharifah can explain more.
Okay, we categorize the student into three levels. Early learner student in four classes, intermediate a learner student in one class and advanced learner in one class. And then for early learner ni, diorang very umur rendah lagi, and then we teach them the basic one, basic living skill, self-help skill. They not started for academic yet. Okay, dia lebih kepada macam mana nak develop mereka punya motor skill, even dia nak pegang pensel pun tak pandai, nak pegang barang pun
sensory
tak kuat. Nah, more pada sensory issue lah. Okay, and then bila mereka dah okay, kita akan letak mereka ke dalam into intermediate class. And then from intermediate class ni, we will prepare them to go for advanced class. The advanced class, we prepare them to go to mainstream school.
But how many teachers do you have per student? So you have 30 students at this point in time.
30 students.
But how many teachers, and are they qualified? I mean, what kind of training did they go through?
We have 6 teachers and 1 occupational therapy. We also have 1 part-time speech therapist. Mm-hmm. And then mereka ada background dalam special education. Mereka juga ada diploma dan ada degree dalam special education, dan kebanyakan mereka mempunyai pengalaman dalam mengajar anak-anak autism more than 5 years lah.
We're heading over to the news in just a bit, but after that, we'll be asking our guests how they reach out to those who need help the most. Stay tuned. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
What's Julia doing?
Well, it looks like she's playing tag while jumping.
I've never seen tag played like that.
Well, Julia does do some things a little differently.
Oh, because of her autism?
Yeah, sometimes people with autism may do things that might seem confusing to you.
Oh, like when she flaps her hands?
Yep, that's just something she does when she's excited. But you know what? Julia also does some things that you might want to try.
Boing, 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 boing! This is fun, Julia! Hey, it's a whole new game! It's boing tag!
Boing, 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 boing!
Now I'm it! I'm gonna get you!
Oh, it does look like a fun way to play.
That's right. It doesn't matter how they play, they're just a bunch of friends having fun.
Huh. You know, I think I'd like to be a friend of Julia, too.
All right, well, then go on. Join in.
Boing, 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 boing. Tag, you're it,
oh,
Big Bird.
Okay. boing, 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 boing.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Orr, together with Ezra Zayed, and this is The Evening Edition. It's National Autism Awareness Month, and you just heard how Sesame Street, an old TV favorite, is doing their part in making autism heard by introducing an autistic character on their show. Her name is Julia. Now, the idea here is to help people understand that this neurological disorder is very real, and it's not what we recognize as perhaps normal, but it's not at all weird. Now, according to the National Autism Society of Malaysia, there's been a 30% increase in the number of people seeking treatment here in Malaysia. So helping us understand autism through a dedicated school, they've started the Ideas Autism Centre. With us, its principal, Puan Sharifah, and Ideas COO, Tricia Yeo. So Tricia, the Ideas Autism Centre targets those who belong in the lower income group. So just how do they know about the centre and how do you reach out to them? I mean, is it a word of mouth thing?
Well, we do, Puan Sharifah herself does a lot of lectures outside, so hospitals invite her to speak, universities. So I think her being plugged into this network is already quite helpful. Mm-hmm. But we also do trainings. So in the past, we've done trainings not just for the parents of our own children at the centre, but we also invite others. So that's how they get to know about the autism centre. So much so that Puan Sharifah tells me that we have a long waiting list of children wanting to come in. And I just told her actually like a few minutes ago, oh, I wish we had more resources, but you know, really we can only cater to this many because of the number of teachers, the space that we have and so on.
Can I just inquire, when you say long waiting list, how many do you have on the waiting list now that want to be in the school but just that you can't cater to?
Okay, now we have more than 20... More than 20 waiting lists. but we need to choose them. Betul-betul lah, okay?
How do you choose? It must be heartbreaking to say no to anyone. So
first, dari segi mereka punya family background. Sebab masa buat interview, kita akan find out mereka punya per capita income, memang kita minta dia punya payslip, and then even yang dah tak kerja tu, we need them to prove that memang tak kerja. So we need to support lah the document dengan signature from penghulu ke ketua kampung ke, to certify that memang one of your family member memang tak kerja, kan. And then kita juga tengok dari segi selain pada family punya background income, kita juga akan buat screening ke atas anak-anak, dan kita akan tengok dari segi severity dia. Kita tak tengok dari segi, not meaning that too severe we cannot take. We can take them. We kita tak ada memang membezakan severity, tapi the at least dia punya report tu kita boleh bantu dari segi untuk dalam tempoh belum intake tu, belum kita terima anak tu masuk, kita akan educate the parents what to do at home. Okay, kita akan ajar mereka apa nak kena buat di rumah, dan kita juga tengok dari segi umur. Sebab umur antara 3 sampai 9, of course yang 9 tu kita takkan ambil, sebab kalau untuk few months kita takut kita tak boleh nak capai sasaran. Sebab our objective is to prepare them to go to mainstream school. Nanti bila datang umur 9 tahun dan harapan parents tu sangat tinggi, kenapa umur dah 9 ni you tak boleh nak educate my child, kan. So our target is memang 3 to 9, tapi priority tu kalau boleh 7 years old bawah, ke bawah.
Puan Sharifah, you mentioned earlier about how you know, you're speaking to us here at the radio station. You've given talks to you know, hospitals and different networks of this community who are dealing with autism. What are some of the most common perceptions that people have about autism, and what are the most common misconceptions that people have when they ask you about autism?
Okay, selalunya apa yang kita terima pendapat daripada kalangan ibu bapa dan juga publik sebab kanak-kanak autism dia punya dari segi physical appearance dia memang look like normal, kan, memang normal betul-betul, selagi dia tak tengok, dia tak tunjuk dia punya kelemahan dari segi tingkah laku, behavior dan juga communication ataupun social, cara mereka bersosial, orang tak akan dapat detect dia ada masalah autism.
Typical kid.
So di situ pun parents kadang-kadang bila anak umur dah 2 tahun tapi bercakap pun tak keluar lagi suara, mereka anggap sebagai itu normal. Padahal kalau umur 2 tahun sepatutnya parents dah tahu dah developmental anak tu mesti dia dah faham 50 lebih dari 50 patah perkataan, sedangkan anak dia tak tahu lagi apa-apa. Jadi di sini kesedaran ibu bapa juga penting dan knowledge kepada ibu bapa juga penting. Pihak hospital selalunya akan bagi sedikit penerangan kepada ibu bapa macam mana nak tentukan anak ni, sepatutnya anak you dalam umur macam ni dah pandai apa, tapi kalau tak pandai lagi rujuk kepada pihak hospital ke apa, kan. Jadi I punya collaboration dengan Ideas Autism Center punya collaboration dengan pihak hospital, kita akan inform that kita ada tempat untuk anak-anak macam ni. Jadi apa selalunya yang berlaku, anak-anak yang dah mendapat rawatan di hospital dan dah didiagnose oleh doktor, mereka akan refer anak-anak ni kepada Ideas Autism Center lah. Itu pun bergantung kepada dia punya jarak antara tempat penginapan anak dan juga sekolah. Sebab kalau anak tinggal dekat luar dari KL, memang susahlah dia nak datang ke tempat kami. Macam tu.
Tricia, I guess, you know, when we talk about partnerships with the private sector, is that an avenue that you're exploring to ensure that perhaps the capacity of the Ideas Autism Center can go beyond 30 students or 30 children, for example?
Well, right now we don't have those plans because it does take a lot from the management side as well, the staffing, you know, the basic things. I mean, if we were to expand it, and honestly, we have thought about it because some of the parents, they would prefer actually to send their students back to the IDEA Center as opposed to bringing them into public school, where sometimes the skills that they've learned sometimes deteriorate. I mean, I'm not saying that the quality of the school is all that bad, but I'm just saying that the parents do feel they're comfortable with the relationship that they've fostered with us.
So because you want there to be progression and not regression,
progression
at these crucial
age. Progression and continuity, especially at the age where it's just, so we take them from 3 to 9, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like between 9 to 14, and that's also a gap that we also wrote. We've written several policy papers because we're a policy think tank to begin with, right?
Right.
Ideas. So we've actually used this as a case study in a sense. So I think we've got like 4 different policy papers. They're all on our website. You can check them out. And one of them actually deals with what are the options out there for parents for their kids who have autism from the ages of 9 to 14. And we did that because we were exploring, like, okay, you know, is there really such a dire need? At the moment, we do not have plans, but I must say that that's something that a lot of the parents have been clamoring for. Even for us at the Board of Governors, we've struggled with wanting to do it, but then not having the capacity to.
Yeah, can you just give us an idea of what options parents do have?
So parents do have options to actually, as Pon Sharifah said at the very outset, to send their kids for individual therapy sessions. But they're really, you know, it's 45 minutes and it's, parents are working, right? So they can't just send their kid and then pick them up an hour later, unless, as I said, they have to quit their jobs, which means the income halves. So one option is therapy. Send them to private centres. Another option is NASOM, which I think we should also talk about. It's not government per se. NASOM is the National Autistic Society of Malaysia. But that one is not even a full day option. I think it's half a day.
Half day.
So there are very, very few like full day options.
And I mean, so the likes of NASOM, for example, and all these other centres, community-wise, are there efforts to actually get together to do things on a larger scale? Are there plans to do that? Just combining the resources?
I think at the moment they seem to be quite disparate. I mean, I think the government has set up something called Permata Kurnia, which does focus specifically on autism. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is that I'm not sure if they've actually cooperated very much with the other different entities and setups.
They also provide, Permata Kurnia also provide the training during weekend on Sunday. So they also link with our IDS Autism Centre parents. Our parents always come for that training.
Up next, what else is needed to increase awareness behind autism? Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
This is a new way of playing, Alan, but I like it.
It's good.
Boing, 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 boing.
What's the matter, Julia?
Noise.
The sirens are bothering you?
Noise.
It's okay, Julia.
Boing, 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 boing. Tag, no, you're it, no, Julia.
All right.
No,
hey,
no,
Julia,
no.
Let's take a break, okay?
Break.
Here's,
break.
I've got Fluffster. All right, come on.
Break.
Come on.
Break.
Oh, come on, Abby.
Big bird.
I didn't mean to upset Julia.
Oh, it's not your fault, Big Bird. Julia didn't like the siren.
The siren? It wasn't that loud.
Oh, well, it was to Julia.
Yeah, her ears are really sensitive, so some sounds are just too much for her.
Huh. Gee, I hope she's going to be okay.
Oh, she will.
Oh, yeah, you know, Julia just needs a break sometimes. Oh, she'll come back to play soon.
That was Elmo talking about Julia, Sesame Street's new character who is autistic. This is the Evening Edition and I'm Caroline Oh, together with Ezra Zayed. We're talking about the conversation about autism and how it's growing. So joining us are our guests, IDEAS Autism Centre's principal, Puan Sharifah, and IDEAS COO, Tricia Yeo. IDEAS, of course, is the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Puan Sharifah, what do you think needs to happen to ensure that the public is more aware about autism? If you could perhaps pull the necessary stakeholders to the table to figure this out, what would the solution be moving forward?
Okay, for me, di sini peranan media masa memang sangat penting. Contoh macam sekarang ni, bulan kesedaran autism, tapi dekat TV tak ada langsung cerita pasal bulan kesedaran. Kalau ada event je keluar dalam berita, tapi dari segi macam hebahan ataupun kempen menceritakan tentang ini adalah bulan autism, this is autism, tak ada pun sedikit slideshow ke mengatakan ya, this is autism, this is what to do with this child, kan tak ada hebahan tentang itu, kan. Jadi I rasa peranan media masa tu sangat penting. And then untuk perkara yang lebih penting lagi, kita kena ubah attitude masyarakat kita. Sekarang ni ramai dalam kalangan masyarakat ni tak aware. Mereka bukan tak aware tau, mereka just ignore the people like autism ni memang wujud. Bagi mereka belum kena dekat family sendiri, jadi mereka don't bother, okay, macam tu. Jadi apa yang penting, mereka perlu ada pengetahuan. Bila mereka ada knowledge tentang itu, barulah mereka akan sedar, okay, this is autism. Memang nampak normal tapi ada kelainan dari segi tingkah laku, dari segi social communication, kan. Kita tak nak mereka just sedar because kalau ada dalam ahli keluarga mereka ada anak autism. Kita tak nak macam tu. Kalau boleh seluruh masyarakat tahu this is autism.
Yeah, okay. And I think to add to that, autistic children are special children. They have some kind of talent, yeah. and you just need to seek it out. I mean, for many of the kids, it could be, you know, strength in numbers or strength in colors.
Music
I think, is a very common one. Singing, you know, playing the piano. I think another one is like being able to tell the directions really well. One of my friend's children actually has this impeccable ability to know how to get from point A to point B after just going there once. But my point is that the parents need to wait and to explore that gift. And this is actually gifted children, right? So they should be able to appreciate that they will be able to integrate into the community. And I guess this is where the awareness that Puan Sharifah is talking about is so important. The other thing, though, I think is that there should be better long-term planning and provision of services to support independent living. So eventually, as these children grow to teenagers and into early adulthood, could there be arrangements to support the independent living of adults with autism, which is non-existent in Malaysia? I think in other countries they've developed.
Well, what does that look like?
I suppose it could be in a form of a center, like a community center, where there are caregivers. And this is the other thing as well. We don't have enough provisions for caregivers. I think in the UK they actually have support for caregivers themselves, so monetary support. So their community centres could be one such way of thinking about that in the long-term future.
Because if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the, you know, for parents, it's one of the biggest worries, what happens to them when I'm gone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they have to do it like on their own right now. And it's a very lonely process, very isolating one. And the other thing would be employment. So, you know, thinking of ways that they could be employed, not just in the menial tasks that they're currently doing.
But perhaps using their gifts and things that they're really good at.
Yeah, exactly.
Puan Sharifah, I think what's also really interesting is that in a lot and in most of these cases, there's always progress to be made. And when a child gets early intervention, when the child gets the right therapy, when the child gets the right education, you see progress taking place over a longer period of time. Could you share with us some of the examples of some of the kids that you've been engaged with that you've seen from, you know, in one point in time it was this type of behavior, and then it's how it's changed over a longer period of time?
Okay. Sebenarnya banyak kes ya di mana kita terima anak-anak ni memang mula-mula datang ke center, salam pun tak pandai, nak bagi high five pun tak pandai, bye-bye pun tak pandai. Itu yang kita ajar peringkat awal. Macam mana dia nak gunakan motor skill dia untuk benda-benda macam ni, untuk bersosial dengan orang, kan. Kadang-kadang orang nampak pelik, kenapalah salam pun nak ajar, high five pun nak ajar, bye-bye pun tak tahu ke apa benda. Memang nampak pelik, tapi kita akan ajar benda yang paling mudah kepada perkara yang paling sukar. So apa kejayaan yang kita terima hari ni, pada Januari 2017, ada dua orang murid kita yang kita dah educate selama 3 tahun lebih kurang. Mereka dah dapat tempat di sekolah kebangsaan dalam kelas normal. Dalam kelas normal. Dan mereka belajar bersama-sama dengan anak-anak normal yang lain tanpa pembimbing dari kami. Jadi bermakna mereka sudah boleh independen, mereka dah bagus dari segi socializing dan juga behavior, dan dia dah boleh berdikari. Apa matlamat kita bukan nakkan mereka bagus dalam akademik ke, nak capai 5A dalam UPSR, tidak. Tapi apa yang penting, mereka boleh diintegrasikan bersama kanak-kanak normal yang lain. Jadi kita tak nak di situ ada jurang. Okay, itu anak autism, jadi kita kena ketepikan. Sebab mereka boleh diinklusifkan belajar dengan kanak-kanak normal yang lain.
Dan boleh berdikari.
Apa yang kita perlu ialah support dari pelbagai pihak. Jangan dari segi ibu bapa pun, body system pun perlu, di mana kawan-kawan pun perlu di-educatekan supaya mereka sedar, okay, ni anak ni autism, jadi you kena bantu dia kalau dia tak tahu apa benda. Jadi benda tu secara menyeluruh tau. Satu pihak sekolah tu perlu dia sedarkan tentang apa itu autism, macam mana nak menangani anak-anak autism, okay, bagaimana nak deal dengan mereka punya behavior. Jadi di situ wujudnya integrasi dan juga wujudnya inklusif program, di mana semua pihak akan bersatu dan bekerjasama untuk majukan anak-anak ni. Bukan yang kita target untuk nak jadikan dia doktor ke, jadikan dia golongan profesional, tapi cukup sekadar mereka boleh disatukan bersama dengan kanak-kanak normal yang lain dan tidak disisihkanlah dari program pembelajaran yang sedia ada.
Tricia, I guess, you know, now that the center is up and running, we've got a waiting list. What would you like to see more of? Obviously, you want more resources and more money, and you want partnerships and all that kind of stuff. But are there certain areas, low-hanging fruit, that you'd like to see so that, you know, it's only 2017 by the time we speak to you a year from now, that we can see more improvement?
Well, I think a low-hanging fruit would be to get even more resources for the current set of children. So, you know, we do have like an occupational therapy room, but sometimes there isn't enough resources to fill it with the right equipment and tools that the children actually need. So that's a very low-hanging fruit, which I think partners could definitely help us with. And I must thank our existing funders because they've been really generous. A high-hanging fruit would be to replicate this model elsewhere. In another city, perhaps not necessarily by us, but somebody else who's interested and somehow, you know, working with us or understanding how the model worked. And another one, I suppose, would be to extend the center if we could actually cater to more students or vertically, meaning that older students could also be catered for. But again, these are very much pie in the sky at the moment. I think the main priority is to focus on the current center to make sure that the teachers are happy, that the center is running well, the children are happy as well. And I think our motto, overarching vision of our project is quality education for every child. So that's why we only focused it on 30 students, and we really do try to provide the best quality for each and every one of them.
Sharifa, do you have any wish list? Because Tricia just gave out her wish list. Is there something that you'd like to have and to see so that
even
things...
Even if it's just day-to-day in the school.
Saya berharaplah pihak-pihak luar ramai yang sedar tentang autism. Dan contohnya sekarang pihak-pihak insurans, tak semua insurans nak cover anak-anak autism. Even dalam satu family, semua anak ada autism, ada insurans. Tapi bila tahu ada anak ni autism, okay, tak boleh. Kita tak cover anak autism. So, di situ kesedaran ataupun awareness dalam kalangan pihak-pihak luar masih kurang. And then satu lagi, dari segi di universiti sekarang memang ada satu program di mana mereka wajibkan anak-anak student mereka menjalankan program community service di center-center ataupun bersama dengan anak-anak special. Itu memang bagus, tapi kalau boleh kita perluaskan lagi jadi benda tu satu yang wajib untuk supaya anak-anak ataupun generasi remaja kita sekarang ni faham anak-anak autism ni memang wujud di mana-mana dan boleh berlaku kepada sesiapa saja, tak kira peringkat di mana kita punya tahap kehidupan kita macam mana pun. Even parents dari segi golongan profesional pun tak semestinya mereka takkan ada anak autism. Dan dari segi statistiknya memang setiap tahun meningkat. Kalau mula-mula saya kenal autism tahun 1996, masa tu ratio dia 1:10,000. Tapi hari ini kita tak tahu berapa sebab currently punya statistik tak ada lagi. Tapi based on dekat Malaysia, 1:600 tahun 2010-11. So memang setiap tahun akan meningkat sebab kanak-kanak autism kita takkan dapat detect sejak lahir. Umur dia dah 1 tahun, 1 tahun setengah dan oleh baru kita kena pasti. Jadi semua orang kena faham dari segi child development macam mana. Nanti kalau misal kata dah dapat tahu anak ni ada kelainan, proses penerimaan tu macam mana, jangan rasa dunia tu macam dah nak runtuh kalau kita dapat anak macam anak autism, tak nak macam tu ya. Jadi kesedaran tu penting, kesediaan pun penting dan kita kena tahu walaupun kita ada anak macam ni, kita tak boleh sisihkan mereka dan apa yang penting, kita educate mereka semampu yang mungkin sebab mereka ada hak untuk hidup dalam kalangan anak-anak yang normal yang lain ya. Okay.
One more point actually, it's the bigger picture. So the bigger like infrastructure where the government comes in, you know, so Ministry of Health and Ministry of Education actually like speaking to each other, ensuring that this kind of landscape is easily understandable and the provisions are actually made available by the ministries. And making it easier for individuals and companies to set up such centres because it did take a long time to, you know, get it registered and the whole bureaucracy of it. I think that's where government can really step in. make it easier for society to react and to come up with good solutions like these.
And that concludes this evening's discussion on autism. A big thank you to our guests this evening from the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, Puan Sharifah, the principal of the IDEAS Autism Centre, and IDEAS COO, Tricia Yeo. Now, seeing how it's National Autism Awareness Month, it is April, of course, share this show with a friend who's dealing with the issue, or perhaps friends who don't know how to deal with their loved one's autism diagnosis. All you have to do is download the podcast from our BFM app, available on Apple and Android. Just search for Autism Isn't Weird, It's Real. Caroline O and Ezra Zayed signing off for the evening edition. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.